Hello, and welcome to the Mosaic Portland podcast. Mosaic exists to follow Jesus in authentic community for the world. We come together on Sunday as one church in two locations in Northeast Portland and North Portland. Come join us at one of our gatherings. For times, how to find us, and more information, visit our website at www.mosaicportland.org. We look forward to worshiping with you. Here's this week's talk.
Good morning, guys. If you're a young person, I will let you decide what young means. Maybe like 70 and younger, say. And you're interested in this and what you just heard about from Laurel. If you're feeling that God is leading you to be a leader in the church, not necessarily a preacher or a pastor or something like that, but that you have a heart to serve God with your life and to contribute to what He's doing in Portland and around the world. Would invite you to apply for the leader in training process. Today after the gathering, Jake Ogieri, who's one of our leaders in training, will actually be at the welcome table. You can ask him about his experience as a leader in training. If you have questions, our applications are online and they're on our website at mosaicportland.org. You can visit that and apply. We would love to invest in you in that way. We're starting a new series today. And it's a great day to start a new series because, you know, it's spring, right? And spring is what in Portland? Just say what spring is. Keep going. Soccer, baseball, rain. Okay. The correct answer is urban farming. Urban farming. This is urban farming season. We are officially now starting that time of the year when Portlanders get all sustainable and stuff. And we go out into our yards and we see our neighbors for the first time, you know, for months, and we come out and we plant our gardens and we get outside, you know, rain or shine, we do this. And if you've been envisioning that chicken coop just in your backyard, in the back corner there, now is the time to make that dream a reality. To start your compost pile, to put your vegetables in the ground. This is the time, right? This is the season. I am a proud urban farmer. I have, along with probably 500,000 other people in our city, I love this time of year. And one of the things that I've learned, and if you're an urban farmer like me, you know this, the things that you plant have to work in harmony with the soil if they're going to be healthy. If you plant things in soil that's not healthy, that's not right, you will have yellow, emaciated vegetables. That is just the way it goes. And again, I'm speaking from experience here. The soil and the plants have to be in harmony. They have to work together. We might say that they have to be reconciled. Reconciled means that they work together. They feed off of each other. They work in harmony with each other. Reconciliation is actually something that's near and dear to God's heart. It's actually His agenda for all of us and for everything that we see. So we're starting this new talk series, and it's called In All These Things, and it's about how Jesus reconciles every part of our lives and every part of our world back to God. To reconcile is to make peace. To bring things into harmony. When you reconcile with another person, you settle your differences with that person. When you plant vegetables and you care for the soil, the plants and the soil work together in harmony. They're reconciled. Jesus' good intention is to bring every part of your life, every corner of the universe, every moment in time, into peace and harmony with God. That is His agenda. That is His plan. That is where He's taking things. And today we're going to kick this series off. We're going to start today just by looking at two verses, and these two verses actually form the foundation of our whole series. There's really two main parts to what we're going to talk about today as we look at these two verses. First, we're going to look at the verses and we're going to see God's vision to reconcile all things through Jesus and how it is that Jesus does that. That's the first part of the talk. And then the second part of the talk, we're going to talk about three practical things that because of what God is doing through Jesus, three things that means for us as we move into this series of talks together. So that's where we're going this morning. If you have a Bible, Colossians chapter 1, We're going to read verses 19 and 20. It's on the screen as well. If you don't have a Bible or you left your smartphone at home, you can grab a Bible from either side. Obviously, nobody left their smartphone at home because nobody would ever think to do that. That would be the worst thing possible that could ever happen to any of us. So, Colossians 1, 19 and 20. It says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, in Jesus. All of God's qualities, who God is actually depicted or seen in the person of Jesus. If you wonder what God is like, what God is like, look at Jesus. If you're a seeker today and you come into Mosaic and you're wondering who God is and if God might be real and if God might have something to say to you, he might be able to make some difference in your life. If that's you this morning, the way that followers of Jesus come to understand God is by looking at the life of Jesus. If you want to get to know what God's priorities are, what his personality is like, what matters to him, look at Jesus. All the fullness of God dwells in Jesus. He is God. God in flesh, the second person of the Trinity. And this is why we as a church family pay very close attention to Jesus. We talk about Jesus a lot. We sing about Jesus. Just about every Sunday we take communion. We take a piece of bread. We dip it in juice. We remember the sacrifice of Jesus. We worship Jesus together. We follow Jesus together in life groups. A couple years back, there was a woman who visited our gathering here in Northeast Portland, and she came with a friend, a neighbor, and her friend said, "Hey, what did you think of Mosaic?" And she said, "Well, it was okay, but there was just too much talk about Jesus." That's actually a compliment, right? I mean, I don't. There's certain things I don't want Mosaic to be offensive about. We don't want to be offensive to people because we're unfriendly or mean to people who come in. We don't want to be offensive because we're politically aggressive or overly opinionated, like you have to vote this way or this way. We don't want to offend people with our coffee. Totally serious about this. We have new coffee in the lobby, and it is better than the last coffee we had. And it makes me really happy. I'm not going to lie to you. But that's really about our guests. That's really about saying, "Hey, this matters. What we're doing here matters. It's important. You matter. We care about you." And in Portland, good coffee matters. It does. And so we, amen. And so we don't want to offend people with our coffee. But if somebody comes and says, "You know what? I don't want to hear about Jesus," and they don't come back, we're not going to change that. That's what we're all about. Jesus is what we're all about. Because Jesus is God, and getting to know him means getting to know God. Now, as we get to know Jesus, we come to see God's vision for us and for everything else that God has made. God has a plan for all things. And Jesus is the one who actually makes that plan happen. That plan is described in verse 20. We just read it. God the Father, through Jesus his Son, is reconciling all things to himself. That's God's plan for everything. To bring all things into peace and harmony with the Father as the Father intends them to be. This is necessary. This is important because the reality is that people and things, everything that God has made is estranged from the Father. People are at war with God. Nature is at odds with what he intends. It's helpful to think about this as a territory dispute. If you think about two countries that are fighting over one piece of land. This country has a claim on this land. This country has a claim on this land. And there's a dispute over whose that is and who gets to say what happens with that land. That's actually what the war between us and God looks like. It's a claim that we make on what rightfully belongs to God. One scholar puts it this way. He says that every moment in time is claimed by God. Every corner of the universe is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. I want to explain this just a little bit more. Jesus has a claim on all things because he made all things. If you look back a couple verses prior to what we just read, Colossians 1, 15 through 18, this is what it says. It says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he, Jesus, might have the supremacy. Everything, all things, including us, were made by Jesus. All things were made in Jesus, by Jesus, for Jesus. When Paul writes all things, the Greek translation of all things means all things. It's all his stuff. Every part of your lives belongs to him. Everything that you can see, every natural thing and everything that's been made as a result of the natural things that God has given us belong to God. Because Jesus made them. It was his power that caused them to come into existence. He made work. He made relationships. He made time. He made trees. He made the oil that we drill out of the ground. He made the stars that we see at night. Everything we see is something he made or a result of something he made. And all that stuff is intended to serve his purposes. All things were designed by him to glorify him, to make him known. God made all these things through Jesus because he wanted us to see them and go, wow, and take a step back and worship him. To actually look at the things that God has made and to step back and go, man, I wonder why God made those. He must have made those things for a purpose, for a reason. And whatever that reason is, it's much bigger and much better than me. And yet what we have done is we've taken the things that God rightfully claims as his own and we claim them for ourselves. It's a territory dispute. This is what Satan did with Adam and Eve. Our first parents, Satan tempted them to claim God's stuff for themselves. That's what Satan does. God had given Adam and Eve everything they needed. In the middle of the garden that they lived in, there was this tree, and the tree gave them the knowledge of good and evil. It was a gift that the tree was there, that they would know that good and evil exists, but that they wouldn't actually know that firsthand, that they wouldn't experience it, that they wouldn't have to experience all the pain and the result that come having imbibed good and evil for themselves. And so God gave this to them. And Satan said, yeah, he's given that to you, but he's holding back. He says it's his, but why don't you make it your own? Why don't you take it for yourself? Why don't you claim that tree for yourself? Eat that fruit for yourself so that your eyes can be opened and you can be more like God. Adam and Eve fell for it. And that's what we've been doing ever since. Claiming what's rightfully God for ourselves and using it for our own purposes, for harm, for self-promotion. That's what we do. There's a really simple example of this, and there's many, but I'll give you one. Our speech, the words that we use. Words, language, communication is a gift from God. It's something that God made, that's his, it belongs to him, and he intends for us to use it to promote peace with him, to promote harmony amongst people, harmony with the created world. That's why God gave us words. They belong to him and they're to be used for his good purposes. But we do is we take our words and we use them for our own purposes. We use them in self-destructive ways. We use them to tear down other people. We use them to promote ourselves, to make ourselves look better than we are. So every time you say something to make your housemate feel stupid, you're warring with God. Every time you drag your spouse's name through the mud, you're warring with God. Every time you choose words to promote yourself and make yourself look awesome, you're fighting God. You're battling him. You're at war with him. We take words which God gave us for his good purposes and use them for harm and self-promotion. This is how we are at war with God. It's just one example. We claim things for ourselves that ultimately belong to God, and then we use them in ways that destroy peace, that destroy the harmony that God intends. And God is not okay with that. God does not look the other way. So what does he do? Colossians 1:20. He sends Jesus, the fullness of God in human flesh, to reconcile all things, including our speech, to peace and harmony with himself. That's what he does. Now, we might expect that Jesus would do this the way that we resolve conflict. And our most normal and natural way to resolve conflict is what? By overpowering our opponent. We learn this at a very young age. We see this actually in preschoolers. If you go to a preschool, or if you have a couple preschoolers in your house, you know what I'm talking about. If there's a dispute over a toy, preschoolers do not naturally work things out. Say, you know what? Go ahead, take the toy. I love you. Enjoy that toy. How great, you know what? Here's another one. Play. Have fun. My needs aren't important. No, that's not what preschoolers do. What preschoolers do is they power up on each other. And it's the loudest preschooler who always wins. It's the loudest and strongest preschooler who gets the toy. This is woven into human experience. This is part of all of our experience and what we know. We see this in politics. Chairman Mao, who is the founding father, was the founding father of communist China. He said, political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. Political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. And we might expect Jesus to come to earth, all the fullness of God, all the power, the creative power at his fingertips, all the creative power of the universe at his fingertips. And we might expect him to come to earth like Wyatt Earp with a couple of six shooters and just kill all the bad guys. But here's the problem with that. If Jesus came to destroy all evil, he would have to destroy all of us. Because we all take and claim what belongs to God for ourselves, and all of us is guilty. Jesus could do that if he wanted to, if that was God's vision, if that was God's design. He could destroy us. But instead, he destroys his son. Instead, he destroys Jesus. He sends his son who willingly serves his father, the will of his father, and he goes to the cross and he pays the price for our sin, for our guilt. He takes the wrath of God on himself, and we are in exchange given the peace of God. He becomes estranged from God. The father turns his back on his son. And we come into relationship with God. It is unfair. It is unnatural. And it is the most loving expression to us that God could have ever dreamed of. That we could actually become his kids through the death of Jesus. That he would actually deal with evil by placing all the guilt and all the shame and all the ways that we claim God's stuff for ourselves on his son Jesus. And him paying the price for that. That's what Jesus does. That's how Jesus brings about reconciliation. And this reconciliation isn't just about us. It's not just for us. It's not just for the various aspects of our lives. It's for all creation. It's for everything that we can see. Our planet is wearing out. Drought, natural disasters, these things are normal. They're a part of the news. We see it every day. Thorns and weeds and insects, they choke out the food that the earth makes, that God intended for the earth to make. Romans 8:22 says that creation is groaning. And if you look around, you can actually see and hear creation groaning. Things are not the way God intended them to be. And the reason it groans is human sin. God intended harmony between himself, between people, between the natural world. He created shalom, that all those things would work together to sustain life, to sustain us. However, sin has ruined that and subjected our environment to decay. But Christ's blood reconciles us, which will lead to the release of sin's grip on creation, on all of nature. See, Jesus isn't just making our souls new. He's making all things new because all things belong to him. Now, we have to be careful with this one. We have to be careful with Colossians 1:20 because when we read that it says that Jesus will reconcile to himself all things, some of us could construe that to mean that Jesus saves everybody. Universalism is what that's called. And there's a belief, and actually there's people who are writing books, Christians who are writing books about universalism and people who are teaching it and saying, yeah, Jesus saves everything. He saves everybody. Here's the problem with that. First, the problem with that is that universalism sounds pretty good. But if you think about it, it would be a bummer. Here's what would be a bummer. Imagine that you've been saved and that you're living in eternal bliss with God, and there are evil people running around and wreaking havoc and disrupting the harmony that we have with God that Jesus has secured for us. Imagine if that was what God allowed. Imagine if that was God's vision. Hey, we're just going to let, you know, good and evil just sort of coexist for eternity together. But Jesus is actually caring enough. He's actually wants to protect eternity from those who would willfully reject Christ and from those who would do harm to the peace and the harmony that God intends. And so Jesus doesn't save everything, everyone, but everything and everyone will one day bow their knee to Jesus. It's just that some people won't want to do it. There's going to be people who reluctantly bow to Christ. But as soon as they're done bowing their knee and worshiping him, they're going to run off and continue to do their own thing. Willfully reject Christ. Not everyone will be saved, but all things, those who choose evil and all evil events will one day be subdued to the lordship of Christ. It will be used for his good purposes. That's what Colossians 1:20 means. But for everyone who does believe Jesus, for everyone who receives Christ, reconciliation is actually a gift from God. That is God's vision for everything. That's the plan that Jesus set into motion when he came to earth, the fullness of God in human flesh, that he bled and that he shed his blood for our sins. And when he rose from the dead, he paved the way for harmonious relationship between God and all things. Now, what does that mean for us? With just the last 10 minutes or so of our time, what does that mean for us today? As we move into this series and as we start to discover God's vision and what does that mean for our own lives, I want to just share three things that means for us right now. Number one, following Jesus is a relationship, not a religion. Following Jesus is a relationship, not a religion. Religion says, do this, don't do that, and if you do well enough, good things will happen to you. Following Jesus is different than that. He brings us into a relationship with God, and that relationship has been secured by the work of Christ at the cross. It's not about how well we follow religion. It's about what Jesus has already done. It's a present reality. Jesus has secured our relationship with the Father. We are children of God because of Christ. It has nothing to do with our religiosity and how good we are and how well we perform. It's a done deal. It's something that's already been secured for us by Christ. And being a child of God, what that means is that you have a dad who lovingly challenges you by his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in every child of God and he guides us. He teaches us to live reconciled lives. He teaches us to follow in the new way of doing things that Jesus started and modeled for us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what God does as our good and loving Father, because we're in relationship with Him. So we don't obey God to become His children. We obey because we're His children. He comes alongside of us and He lovingly shows us the places in our lives that need to be healed. He points out the ways that our thinking is faulty. He reclaims the stuff in our lives that we've claimed for ourselves. He speaks into our lives. He talks to us through scripture, through prayer, through listening, because we are His precious children. And He has our very best in mind. What is God saying to you? And what are you going to do about it? That is the question that every disciple of Jesus, every follower of Jesus wrestles with daily. Because we have a Father who loves us, a Father who speaks to us, a Father who wants what's best for us, and a Father who wants us to be a part of the work that He's doing in reconciling all things. Following Jesus is a relationship, not religion. Number two, following Jesus involves all of who you are, not just some of who you are. Following Jesus involves all of who you are, not just some of who you are. Jesus has something to say about every nook and cranny of your life, because He made every nook and cranny of your life. Every Sunday for the next couple months, we're going to look at a particular area of our lives. Each week, we'll look at a particular area of our lives that Jesus claims for His own and actually wants to reconcile and restore and bring into harmony with Himself. We're going to look at our thought life, our speech, our relationships, our suffering, our time, our money, our work, and our relationship with the environment. Jesus claims all of that stuff because all of that stuff is His. Now, I understand something here, that many of us aren't really comfortable with that. We're not really too hot on the idea of Jesus speaking into every aspect of our lives. We want, some of us, Jesus to save our souls and to bless us and to give us some money, but we don't want Jesus telling us what to do with our time. We don't want Jesus telling us what to do with our sexuality. We don't want Jesus telling us what to do with our relationships. We want to manage that stuff for ourselves. And it's frightening. It's actually frightening to actually think about letting Jesus call the shots in all those things. When I was in high school, I that was one of the seasons in my life where I felt that way. I knew what I wanted. I knew a few things I wanted, and I knew a lot of things I didn't want. I wanted to make money when I got older, preferably a lot of it. I wanted to have a smoking hot wife. And that was pretty much all I wanted. And then and then I knew that I didn't want... Sorry. I knew I didn't want... I didn't want to be a pastor. I knew that. One time my youth pastor asked me, he said, "Do you think God might be calling you into ministry?" And I was like, "No." "You don't make enough money, and I don't want to make a comment about your wife." But that was how I felt. That was where I was at in my life at that time. And the thing on that was that I did love Jesus. I did. But I didn't want Him to tell me what to do with my career or my education or where I was going. It was scary. And some of you are frightened. Some of you, this series is freaking you out right now, because there's things that God's going to speak to you over the next several weeks. And you're thinking, "Man, I wish I knew which Sundays each of those was, because I would not show up on certain Sundays because I don't want Jesus telling me what to do with that." And if that's you, I get it. I understand the fear. Here's what we need to understand. God is good. His intentions for every area of your life are better than yours. He'll actually bring your time and your money and your relationships into what He intended them to be. And that's better. It's better. The other thing is that this is a really hopeful thing. There's actually hope here. We so often think that God doesn't care about us. But nothing could be further from the truth. God cares about every detail, every relationship, every thought, every activity, your job, your family, your relationships to your housemates, all of it. He cares. He loves you. This is a really, really good thing. And so we can actually come into this series and open our hearts and our minds up to what Jesus wants to say to us. Will you open your mind and your heart to him addressing aspects of your life that you're scared to address? Will you come to church the next several weeks and let him speak to the aspects of your life that he wants to speak to? Will you do that? And then number three, following Jesus means joining the work that God is doing right now. God is reconciling all things through Jesus, and he invites us to be part of that with him. 2 Corinthians 5, it says something that's kind of mind-blowing. It says that Jesus reconciles all things to himself, and then he gives us, those of us who follow him, who believe in him, he gives us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, Jesus says, here's what I'm doing. Here's where I'm going. I'm reconciling everything, all things to myself, bringing peace with God, bringing harmony. That's where I'm taking things. And oh, by the way, every one of you who follow me, do that with me. That's your ministry too. That's what it is to follow Jesus. That's what we all get to be a part of. And so we do that when we share the message of reconciliation, when we say, hey, guess what? Jesus is Lord of all things and he secured relationship and harmony through his death on the cross, when we speak the message of reconciliation. But we also do that when we serve. We're ministers of reconciliation when we serve in the way of Jesus. And there are countless ways that we could do this. But when we care for our planet, when we promote peace between a husband and a wife whose marriage is off the rails, whether it's your marriage or somebody else's, when we refuse to use pornography or anything else that exploits women, when we do that, when we choose those things, we are actually painting a small picture of the new creation that God intends to bring about in Jesus. We're participating with God in where he's taking things. But there's one other way that we practice this ministry of reconciliation, and it's actually the evidence that we provide by our own lives, by the changes that God makes in us. We're being healed, we're being made whole by Christ. He gets the credit for those things. So let's give him the credit when an addiction is overcome. Let's give him the credit when siblings who are fighting patch things up. Wherever the healing takes place in your life, it is a sign of what God is doing and what he's all about and what's to come. So first, following Jesus is about relationship, not religion. Second, following Jesus involves all of you, all of who you are, not just some of you. And third, following Jesus means joining the work that God is doing right now. We're going to continue to worship and celebrate the reality of what Jesus is doing by taking communion and singing some more songs. When we come to this table, we realize that Christ has paid the price for our sin. We realize that he laid his life down. He destroyed evil by actually sacrificing himself. And that for those of us who believe, our relationship with the Father is secure. But we also come to this table this morning understanding that his death, part of that is that he's reclaiming everything in our lives, every aspect of who you and I are. This was the first step in that journey, in that process of Jesus bringing everything in your life into peace and harmony with God. And so we come to this table and we ask Christ for his power to actually experience that change and that new work that he's doing. Many of us are scared today. We think, man, I don't know if I want God to manage my life. I don't know if I want Jesus speaking in. But when we come to this table, we realize and we actually celebrate that God intends very good things for us. that he wants what's best for us, that he's our loving Father who wants to reshape every single square inch of our lives and the world around us. And if you're not a follower of Jesus today, but you're seeking him, and maybe you came and you've come to realize that you've claimed things for yourself that ultimately and rightly belong to God. Perhaps you've become aware of the way that you've taken those things and you've actually used them for selfish purposes to destroy other people and to destroy your own life. If that's you, you can turn to Christ today. You can say, Jesus, your way, not my way. Jesus, I need you to forgive my sin and all the ways that I've claimed your stuff for myself. I need you to forgive that. I need you to change me. I need you to heal me. And he'll do that. He'll do that. You can pray to him right where you're sitting with your eyes closed. You don't have to say anything out loud. Ask Jesus to forgive you and to bring you into the work that he's doing in the world. He'll do that. And if that's you, you can come and take communion as well this morning. Father, thank you for your word to us today. I'm so thankful that you care about everything in our lives, every little thing about us, the thoughts we think, the words we say, the work we do, and that you actually want to shape that for your very good purposes. We surrender control to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.